another splendid tune from England's great heritage of musical rhubarb. Greensleeves, a song we all know and love. Donald knows it and he hates it. Really very interesting how that old tune, Greensleeves, came to be written. I'd like to tell you about it. Are you all sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. 1546, if you'll cast your minds back, was a very bad year for the theatre. Gorba Duck was doing poor business at the Globe. Gamma Gurton was still giving everyone the needle. Apart from Noah's Floody on ice, it's about all there was on. Not even Salad Days and the Mousetrap, you know. No, not even us. Dramatists just seem to have stopped writing. And the master of the King's revels is getting terribly worried because he had to have a new revel on in time for Candlemas, see, part of his job. So he sent for a playwright friend of his, and he said to him, "Look, kid." That was his name, Kid. "Then how about your writing us another of your little Spanish tragedies or something? I did so enjoy the last one." Kid said, "Well, it's all very well for you, standing there, smoking that potato, telling people to write plays is not as easy as all that. All the best plots have been used already. Second volume of Holinshed's not out yet. In any case, the public nowadays are only really interested in bear-baiting and cockfighting. Morton's Fork. They don't give a fig for the live theatre." Very angry young man, this kid. Well, the master of the King's revels sort of calmed him down a bit, you know, as you do, stood him a butt of sack and so on. Said, "Well, we really must try to think of something because it is going to be rather a special occasion. We're nationalising the monasteries." He said, "If they offer you one, don't take it, because if Bloody Mary gets in, they'll be denationalised." He said, matter of fact, he said, "I have an idea for you." He said, "I know I'm only a civil servant, but you're most welcome to it. Why don't you, may I call you Dost Not Thou? May I thank you? Why dost not thou rewrite Ralph Royster Doister? It is crying out to be done as a musical. Anything to stop it being done straight." But Kid thought this was an absolutely wonderful idea. He rolled about on the floor like old Swan when he's seen a joke. Mind you, by this time, of course, after all this sack, he was tight as Andronicus. He staggered home. He got to work on the book straight away, got Skelton in to do the lyrics for him. John Skelton made a first-class job too, wrote dozens of very strong point numbers. King Stephen was a worthy peer, that was one of his. "Nay, John, thy porridge is too hot, char-char." Dozens more. Very funny, very strong, lovely stuff. But none of these songs seem quite right to end the first half. Now, if you're writing a musical, which I'm sure practically all of you are, that is the thing to watch out for, actually, what they call the first half closer. They got to do Ralph Royster Doister in two halves. You're going to do Royster in the first half, Doister in the second half. Ralph in the interval. And as Skelton said, and he was quite right, for a first half closer, you must have a hit, a palpable hit. Well, they thought of having Summer Is a Coming In, but this had got itself on the banned list. People have been singing Cuckoo rather too lewdly. And he thought, well, what next? There's always the Agincourt Court song, said Skelton, but it's been done to death, hasn't it? Means having all those ghastly old arches. I just can't face it, you see. They're just not... You know, they're not writing songs like those anymore these days. And Kid said, well, leave us not be too hasty, said leave us not. Somebody may be somewhere. This chap Anon's writing some perfectly lovely. Nobody seems to know who his agent is. Well, they sat around in the old Bankside Theatre, which they had a short lease, getting more and more depressed and shorter of money. They pawned their doublets, sitting around in their singlets. Those hoogoozies. And suddenly there came the sound of a tucket without. Pausing only to pull down his singlet and tuck it within. Kid rushed to the door and a scroll was handed in by special messenger. kid took the scroll, unrolled it. It rolled up again. They always did. Unrolled it again. At the bottom were several rows of very square but highly illuminated notes. And at the top it said, green fleas. The kid looked at this. He thought, well, this is it's a pretty unlikely title for a fong. He handed it over to Skelton and sat back to listen while Skelton tried it over on the virginals. And after listening for a while, Kid said, verily, he said, "'tis a passing melodious roundelay. But you know, I doubt me an it be commercial. Who wrote this green fleaves thing anyway?" And a voice from the back of the auditorium shouted out, "We did!" Like that. Scared the doublet and the hose off. And they came forward, they could just make out a shadowy figure standing up the back there, and they said, "Who are you?" And the figure answered, and this is the interesting part, almost worth waiting for. The figure answered, "We are Henry the Eighth. We are." Well, then, of course, they realized that green sleeves was exactly what they wanted. They put it in the show, and under the title of Doxies Without Smoxies, it ran for years, as you'd expect, with royalty taking interest, like horse racing and so on. In fact, to this very day, in every period play you go to see, though it's set in 1300 up to about 1715, I suppose, still, for incidental music, green sleeves is always played. And the royalties go to royalty.